Well, good morning to you. Jesus is risen.
Yes.
Jesus is risen.
Yes.
Jesus is risen.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. I'm so glad that you are here on this glorious resurrection morning. Our God is alive. Jesus is alive. He's not only alive around me, He's alive in me. Amen. And I pray that He'll be alive in you just as well. And He's not only alive around me, He's not only alive in me, He's alive for me. Because He wants to walk with me every step of the way. So His name can be lifted up. My life can be fulfilled. And my destiny can come to fulfillment while I'm here passing through. Amen? Amen. My name is Fadi. I am the multiplication minister of Brentwood Baptist Church. I'm serving as an interim teaching pastor here at Harpeth Heights. What a privilege and a delight to be with you here this morning on Resurrection Morning. If you noticed a little bit of an accent, it's because I was born and raised in Damascus, Syria. So I am a Syrian, but I came to Tennessee in 1983 and became a citizen here in 1991. I love Tennessee, so I'm from Syria. I'm a Syrian. I live in Tennessee, been here now for over 37 years, so I'm a Tennessean. But to please both sides, you can call me a Tennessean. So I am Fadi the Tennessean. Amen. And so would you stand up with me in honor of the Word of God? Have you been blessed by the worship this morning? Has the worship not been awesome this morning? Amen. Thank God for your staff. Thank God for the name of Jesus lifted up through our praises and our worship. I want you to turn to your neighbor standing next to you and look at them face to face and say, aren't you glad you're standing by me? Say that to them. I say, aren't you glad you are standing by me? Now I want you to turn to them one more time and say, I am glad that I'm standing by you. Say, I am glad that I am standing by you. Amen and amen and a million amen. Did you bring your Bibles with you to the house of God this morning? Amen. Can I see your Bibles? If it's in your hand or on your phone, in a moment the scripture will be on the screen. It is all perfect and well. But this is the Word of God. We live by the Word. We live for the Word. We live in the Word. He gives us life through the principles of the living Word of God. I'll begin reading in Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60. Then I'll read Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and then Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. God raised up Paul into life. He was alive physically, dead spiritually. He needed to come alive spiritually, and the Spirit of God met him on the road to Damascus. I live in Damascus. I grew up in Damascus. My house is about 3 miles away from the straight, narrow road that comes all the way from Jerusalem out into Damascus. I've been to the spots where the Apostle Paul have met the Holy Spirit. I've been to the house of Judas where the Holy Spirit touched his eyes, and his eyes opened up, and his spirit opened up. His life came alive in him, and he immediately got up and went on about the Lord's business. God can do the same for you this morning. You could be a Saul, you could turn into a Paul. You could be living in darkness, you will see the light. You could be living without hope today. God can give you joy mixed with hope and a future and a purpose, and that's what our God will do. Let's look together at the story of Paul, the resurrection of Paul from Saul to Paul, and look at it together. Let's personalize it. Verse 54, the Bible says, when they heard these things, they were enraged. Now, here is Stephen, who has been a model for faith for Saul. He is preaching the gospel to the Pharisees, and he's talking about Jesus, whom they have neglected. And verse 54, they get so mad at him. Listen, when they heard these things, they were enraged and gnashed their teeth at him. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. They yelled at the top of their voices, covered their ears, and together rushed against him. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold the sin against them." And after saying this, he died. Chapter 8 and verse 1, Saul, who would later turn into a Paul, Saul agreed with putting him to death. On that day, a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the land of Judea and Samaria. Look with me in chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Now Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and requested letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any men or women who belonged to the way, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he traveled and was nearing Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him, falling to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul said, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." He replied, "But get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Oh God, take the word that comes all the way from your heart and seal it to our heart. Take the principles of the passage that touches our soul and mind and allow us to understand your message for us today. And take the principles of life and allow us to walk it out so that we may be changed and others may be changed around us. In the name of Jesus, somebody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. There are three things in Christianity, three things that demands an explanation when we think about Christianity, all throughout the ages, actually. There are three things. Number one, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. All through history, men and women, philosophers and educators and others have tried to disqualify the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But all you have to do to disqualify the resurrection of our Lord recorded in the eternal, inerrant, infallible Word of God is come up with a body. Come up with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll disqualify the resurrection of Christianity. But you know, I have an answer for that, which is the answer the angels gave Mary when they came into the tomb, both Marys, to look to anoint Jesus after he had been put in the grave. When they came in and saw that the tomb is empty, the angels said, "Why are you seeking the living among the dead?" See, there are many gods that have been put in the grave and they're still in the grave. You can't say about them, "Why seek the living among the dead?" because they're still dead. But Jesus, our God, is alive forevermore and the tomb is empty. The second thing the world is wanting to get an answer on is the disciples themselves. Before the resurrection, the disciples lived in fear. Before the resurrection, they lived in a little bit of a mysterious understanding of what the resurrection is all about, what eternity is all about. As a matter of fact, they went all the way to tell Jesus himself, "We don't want you to go to the cross." Peter in fear said, "I'll not let you go to the cross." But after the cross, after the burial, after the resurrection, they understood something about Old Testament prophecies they did not understand before. After the resurrection, something made sense. After the resurrection, they saw the risen Lord. After the resurrection, they became evangelists. They used to be living in fear, now they're living in boldness. They used to be hesitant about preaching the gospel, now they preach the gospel and thousands have come to Jesus Christ. The third thing that the world demands an explanation on is literally the testimony, the story, the transformation of a man named Saul, the one who's known to be as the persecutor of the church. The hater of all Christians. As a matter of fact, Saul himself in 1 Corinthians and chapter 9, he says that I used to be chief sinners. He reminds us of who he used to be. Saul, the man who wanted to persecute, and because he hated all Christians, he'd go all the way to Damascus on his way to prosecute the people who are called to be followers of Christ, followers of the way of truth. And so he's out to destroy. But then he meets the Lord himself on the road to Damascus. A light would shine from heaven and would interrupt Paul's passage all the way to Damascus. The story of Paul is a unique one. It's really the story of every one of us. We all used to be just like Saul. If we weren't haters of Christianity, we were indifferent to Christianity. If we really did not know what Christ has come to do, we didn't care to know what Christ has come to do. But somewhere along the line of our own Damascus journey, God interrupted us. He interrupted me on October 30 of 1984. And I had my Damascus journey in a little town called Martin, Tennessee. And I come to know the light. The Lord met me and called me and anointed me and sent me to worship him and to minister in his name and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God would interrupt Saul. Only God would interrupt a man or a woman who hates the church. Only God would show a grace unto a man or a woman who really didn't care to follow Christ. Only God can transform and change the lives of people. God would interrupt Saul to turn his life into a Paul. Now that's the glory of salvation. God would take a man who logically shouldn't be a Christian and turn him to become the most prominent Christian of our time. God will take a man who logically should not be a Christian and turn him to be the greatest theologian we've ever known, the greatest teacher we'll ever known, the greatest counselor we would have ever known. He resurrected him out of ignorance and darkness and indifference, and he brings him into the light and turns him into the greatest evangelist, church planter we would have ever known. But did you notice the beginning of the story? The beginning of the story was in chapter 7. Stephen had been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Stephen has been testifying of Jesus, the one who has declared himself to be before Abraham. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He is the great I am. He said, I am Yeshua. I am Jehovah. I'm the one who fulfills all prophecies. And the Sanhedrins are standing in front of Stephen, and they're sitting also in front of him, and they're all in anger at Stephen. They get so mad every time Stephen said Jesus, every time he mentioned the name Yeshua, Jesus. And finally, they got so enraged, the Bible said, they decided to stone Stephen, just to silence Stephen. There's a young man standing there at that trial. His name is Saul. Saul of Tarsus. Now, Saul was so in agreement with stoning Stephen that he held the clothes, the garments of those that are stoning Stephen. But while he was holding the clothes, he would hear things from Stephen's mouth. He would see Stephen looking at heaven. He would hear Stephen say, don't lay this against them, O Lord. Don't charge it to them, because they're doing what they're doing in absolute ignorance. And Saul, recognizing that Stephen belongs to another Lord and he belonged to another world, he kept that in his mind. As a matter of fact, he got so enraged, so angry, that in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible said he agreed with the stoning of Stephen. Not only that, he went out to persecute the rest of the Stephens that follows Jesus, the rest of the people that follows Christ. And in chapter 9, he's on his way. He goes to the high priest. He tells the high priest, I want your permission. I need some kind of a passage, right, to go and persecute the Christians. He came out of a gate right outside of Jerusalem. There's a gate, they call it the Damascus Gate. And he travels the way into Damascus. It's about 200 miles into Damascus. And here's what Saul thought. If we can get rid of the Christians closer to Jerusalem, I want to go even further and get those that are a little bit beyond. And then I want to go even further and get those that are even beyond. And then I want to go to the uttermost part where Christians exist, and I want to annihilate Christianity altogether. And he's on his way, to Damascus, to the city of Damascus. He's on that narrow road. He's on that straight way. And he is full of rage. See, some people get really mad at Christianity. Sometimes you notice somebody, when you talk about your faith, they'll get mad, they'll get angry. And he was getting madder and he was getting angrier. You know why? Because he knew he was under conviction. See, oftentimes people who reject the voice of the Lord, oftentimes they would behave even in a worse behavior simply because they may be under conviction. And they're on their way. He's on his way to Damascus. And the Bible said a voice comes from heaven. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? See, when you persecute a believer, you're persecuting Jesus Christ. But Jesus did not show up to Saul to condemn Saul. Jesus showed up to Saul to open his eyes so he can see the Lord. Did you know that Jesus knew exactly where Saul was when Stephen was being stoned? Did you know that God had his eyes on Saul? Did you know that God loved Saul? Did you know that the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44 that God overcomes hatred and anger by love? God said, I want you, Jesus told the disciples, love your enemies. God would not expect you to love your enemies unless he would love his own enemies. Saul was an enemy of God. And there's some things that were ringing in Saul's mind and heart all the way on the road to Damascus. First of all, he kept thinking. He could not get away from what Stephen was saying, what testifying. First of all, he couldn't get away from Stephen's boldness as a witness for Christ. While he was being stoned, Stephen would cry out in the name of Jesus, and he spoke, the Bible says in Acts chapter 7, of the resurrected Jesus Christ. He couldn't get away from Stephen's boldness crying out the name of Jesus. Later on, Paul talks about Jesus as his own Lord and as his own master after his own conversion, after his own salvation. The name Jesus. People get offended of the name Jesus, but keep that name on your lips. Keep that name in your heart. Keep that name on your mind. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know. We sang about Jesus. We glorified the name of Jesus. He is the one who has saved us and died for us. The name of Jesus. Someday, sometime, at the coming soon time, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen? So he couldn't get away from the name Jesus. The testimony, the bold testimony. But he also could not get away not only from the testimony of Stephen as the bold witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could not get away from Stephen's kingdom perspective. He could not get away from what Stephen is focusing on. While he was being stoned, Paul is watching, Saul is watching, and he hears Stephen looking up to heaven, and the Bible says he sees the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He sees a man full of faith that heaven opens up for him, and he sees his God face to face. It's an amazing encounter. It's an amazing experience. And Saul could not get away from that. He couldn't get away from that. As a matter of fact, later on in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, the very Saul that became Paul writes, turn your affection toward heaven. Turn it toward heaven. He couldn't get away from the bold witness of Stephen. He could not get away from the kingdom perspective that a believer would have in his heart, because we don't belong to this world. I'm going to tell you, you keep your eyes on this world and you'll be miserable like the rest of the world. But if you keep your eyes on God, you and I are pilgrims traveling through. You and I are citizens of another kingdom. You and I are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Someday we're going to be in a place where the streets are made of gold. Someday we're going to be in a city where there'll be no dying, no sighing, no crying, no pain, no conflict, no hurt. We belong to another kingdom. Somebody say hallelujah. Couldn't get away from that. And number three, he could not get away from what Stephen was saying when he said he was laying down his life for God. He never resisted the stoning. And Paul could not understand that. Paul couldn't understand how Stephen would just lay down his life and suffer with Christ and suffer for Christ. As a matter of fact, later on, after his conversion, Saul, who became Paul, writes, "My life is being offered as a drink offering for my God." As a drink offering for my God. Saul would lay down his life. This man who was so hostile against Christianity, so angry at the way, this man who went out to bring about martyrdom unto Christians, he lays down his life as a martyr for Christianity's sake. He couldn't get away from what Stephen was doing, laying down his life for God. And then here it is. Watch this now. Saul could not get away from hearing Stephen say, "With mercy, do not lay this at their charge." He's never heard a man being stoned, dying, suffering, and saying, "Lord, don't count it against them." Stephen heard it. When Jesus on the cross said, "I do not charge those that are trying to persecute me." And Stephen heard it. And Paul could not get away from it. Now, can you imagine? The stoning is done. The crowd is gone. The city is living in the emotions of that stoning. And Saul gives everybody back their clothes. And Saul gets to that place where now he's alone. And he's reflecting. And he's angry. And he's going on the way to Damascus to prosecute the rest of the Christians. And he wakes up that morning before the journey. And he's passing by that grave where they put Stephen. And he's going by, and his mind is so busy, and he's wondering, "God, how could it be? How could it be that a man who is dying for his faith has faith stronger than mine? What did he see when he looked up to heaven and saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God? God, what was it about Stephen that was more real than what's in me?" And on the way to Damascus, God shows up to Saul. Could he be showing up to you today? Could he be showing up to you? And he says to him, this is important, watch this now. He says, and when he showed up to him, Saul looks up and he said, "Lord, who are you?" Now, when a Jew says, "Lord, who are you?" They know, just like Moses, like Abraham, like every Old Testament patriarch, they're speaking to Jehovah Yahweh. And God answered. Did you get what I just said? Let me ask you. Did you get what I just said? Amen. Who are you, Lord? And God answered, "I am Jesus." Did you catch that? Who are you, Jehovah? Jehovah responds, "I am Jesus." Who are you, Yahweh? Yahweh responds, "I am Jesus." God said, "I am Jesus." And Jesus said, "I am God." And then Jesus makes a statement. He said, "I am the one." Because see, Paul has been living to figure out who the one is. And Jesus said, "I am the one. I am the one that Isaiah prophesied of, that a virgin will give birth in Bethlehem." In the book of Micah, "I am the one who was born in Bethlehem. I am the one who was baptized by John and the Holy Spirit of God came upon him. I am the one who walked the streets of Galilee and the shores of Capernaum. I am the one who turned the water into wine. I am the one who stood before the Son of Nain and raised him out of his coffin. I am the one who stood before Lazarus and brought him out of the grave. I am the one who went to the cross of Calvary and died for all of humanity. I am the one whom they buried on Saturday and put him down in silence. But I went to Hades and took the keys out of hell's hands, out of Satan's hands, and stripped him of his dominion and his authority. I am the one who called the angels to roll the stone away, and I came out and left my clothes behind. I am the one who came on Pentecost and gave the power to the disciples to preach so thousands can come to Jesus Christ. I am the one who gave birth to the church. I am the one who's speaking to you right now, Saul. And Saul looks up and said, what must I do? And he said, go into Damascus and you will know what you need to do. And Saul became Paul. On the road to Damascus, instantly, he met Jesus and changed. He is the one. He is the one whom you showed up for here today. He's the one whom showing up to you today. On Friday, they took him and he was hanging on the cross suffering. He died for the sin of all humanity. On Friday, he died for my spiritual death and conquered that death to bring me back to Christ. On Friday, he took away my sins and wiped my slate clean. So now if my name come up in judgment before God, it says on my record, his name is Fadi. He is redeemed and he's paid in full. On Friday, he declared that he's the Lord of Lords and he is the King of Kings. On Saturday, they put him in the grave. He went down to Hades while the world went silent. Jesus went down to hell, stripped that keys out of Satan's hand. He said, you have no more dominion over those who believe in me. And I live in the freedom and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now that I'm a child of God, the very resurrection Spirit of Christ lives inside of me. But then he comes back. And on Sunday, I said on Sunday, he comes out of that grave victorious forevermore. And that's the gospel Paul preaches. And that's the gospel we live by. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you know him as Lord of your life? Is he your Jehovah? Is he your Yahweh? Is he God in your life? You see, you may be already in a Friday mode. You wonder, Fadi, my sins are overwhelmed me. Fadi, I want to tell you, you don't know anything about my past. Fadi, I just want you to know that I don't think God can save me and change me. I want you to know, just like Saul, his eyes are on you. He loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to change your life forever and forever. And he wants to give you meaning forever to live in purpose for his glory, for his name, and for his honor. And because he's alive, Paul, your past can be forgiven. Because he's alive, you can be changed like Paul in an instant. Is it that simple, Fadi? It's that simple. If I complicated, I wouldn't be true to the gospel. You come to him and give him your life. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll change you and change your name. He'll give you a new name. You can keep that one in there, but they'll attach to it something called Saint Joseph. Cleansed. Transformed. Changed, forever written in the Lamb's book of life. He'll give you a name. And you see, because he's alive, your past can be forgiven. Because he's alive, your present can have meaning. And you could be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You come into the family of God and God will give you the Spirit. Isaiah 11 said, it's the Spirit of wisdom, it's the Spirit of understanding, it's the Spirit of courage, it's the Spirit of joy. God will give you the Spirit to live in you and to direct you for the rest of your life. And you won't be wandering like Paul in madness. Because he's alive, your past can be forgiven. Because he's alive, your present can be changed. And watch this now, because he's alive, your future can be secured. You can have eternity in Christ forever and none shall pluck you out of his hand because he's alive. Stand up with me, everyone. Because he lives. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Can I ask you a simple question this morning? Can you be true? Can you be faithful to your own soul and to your own spirit? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Is he Lord of your life? Or are you still a soul and Saul in spirit? You still live in that level of confusion, that level of anger, maybe just the indifference of religiosity. I want to tell you, God is here. His eyes are on you. I know the plan I have for you. Plans to prosper you and to give you hope. Plans to give you freedom. Your past can be forgiven this morning. Fadi, you really don't know what I've done, what I've been through. I don't have to, but I bet you God does. His love and His mercy and forgiveness is here for you. If you accept Him in your life as Lord of your life, He will change your life and He'll begin to transform your presence and He will secure your future immediately. What must I do? Paul said. You ask the same question. What must I do to become a child of God? You can pray a simple prayer like this. Just God, I come to you and I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins and sinful nature. I give you my life. Thank you for dying for me. Now every head bowed and every eye closed. How many of you would say, Fadi, I want to give my life to Jesus today. I've pondered that decision long enough. It's time for me to have a Damascus Road experience. It's time for me to change and shift. I'm a father. I'm a mother. I'm a child. I'm an elder. Whoever you are, the love of God is here to reach you. Paul, why would you preach this message forever? He says, the love of God compels me. If you're here today and you say, Fadi, I want you to pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I promise you. But I want to pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one is looking but me. So I can see your hand. I can pray for you. The eyes of God are on you. My eyes are on you to pray for you. How many of you say, Fadi, I'm not sure. If I was to die right now like Paul, before his salvation experience, I would have died and gone to hell thinking that I'm a religious man on my way to heaven, a religious woman on my way to heaven. Pray for me. Pray for me. I need to give my life to Jesus today. On the count of three, I want you to raise up your right hand. Are you ready? On the count of three, I want you to raise up your right hand. I want to pray for you right now. Already? One, raise it up as high so I can see it. Don't be embarrassed. This is your day. This is your Damascus Road encounter. Ready? One, two, three. Can I see your hands? Pray for me. Keep your hands up for me. Keep your hands up. Bless you. Bless you. God bless you. I thank God for your faithfulness and your truth. Put your hands down, please. Those of you that raised your hands and those of you that wanted to raise your hand, but you didn't, I understand. Sometimes it's intimidating in a new place. You can pray with me as well if you want to receive the Lord. Now follow me as I lead you in prayer. I'm not getting saved on your behalf. I'm just encouraging you with the words that I pray. Pray quietly in your heart right now. Okay. Dear Jesus, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for dying for me. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my sinful nature. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my God. And help me to live for your glory. Now, Lord, thank you for securing my future, blessing my presence, and forgiving my past. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In a moment, you'll find out what you need to do with your decision. But how many of you prayed with me? You said, Fadi, I prayed with you and I gave my life to Jesus. And I did it from the bottom of my heart. My motive was pure. I'm not doing it intimidated or motivated. I'm doing it literally purely because I knew that I needed to do this. On the count of three, if you prayed with me to give your life to Jesus, I want you to raise up your right hand. Are you ready? On the count of three. One, raise it up high. Two, three, can I see your hands? All of you that prayed to give your life to Jesus, keep your hands up for me, please. I see you to my right. I see you in the middle. I see you in the back. God bless you. Put your hands down. Now, look up here, everybody. Just look up here. Can we give God the praise and the glory for those that have prayed and gave their life to Jesus this morning? At the end of the service, all of you that gave your life to Jesus, I'm going to be standing here with some of our ministers. Many people will be filing out. I would love to meet you. I'd love for you to come down and say, Fadi, I prayed with you today. We may never meet again, but we will someday in His presence. Don't leave today. It's easy to walk away. Don't leave and have the enemy convince you, oh, you don't have to do this. come, let us celebrate with you. Just take me by the hand, say, I prayed with you today, or one of our ministers. Amen. Amen. Dear sister.